The percentage of intelligence that is not human is increasing. And eventually, we will represent a very small percentage of intelligence. Slow down. Slow down, AI. To regulate AI. This was futile. I tried for years.
It's capable of vastly more than almost anyone knows. And the rate of improvement is exponential. And the biggest issue I see with so-called AI experts is that they think they know more than they do. And they think their
deep mind system can win at any game. It can already beat all the original Atari games. It is superhuman. It plays the games at super speed in less than a minute. And we're all feeding this network without questions and answers. We're all collectively programming the AI. And and Google plus all the humans that connect to it are one giant cybernetic collective. This is also true of Facebook and Twitter and Instagram and all these social networks. They're giant cybernetic collectives.
AI has administrator level access to Google's servers to optimize energy usage at the data centers. However, this could be an unintentional Trojan horse. DeepMind has to have complete control of the data centers, so with a little software update, that AI could take complete control of the whole Google system, which means they can do anything. They can look at all your data, they can do anything.
It's definitely going to be outside of human control. The thing that's going to be tricky here is that it's going to be very tempting to use AI as a weapon. It's going to be very tempting. In fact, it will be used as a weapon.
In general, we are all much smarter than we think we are, but much less smart, dumber than we think we are, by a lot. So
the on-ramp to serious AI, the danger is going to be more humans using it against each other, I think, most likely. That'll be the danger. Yeah. Usually it'll be something, some new technology, will cause damage or death. There will be an outcry.
This tends to plague smart people. They define themselves by their intelligence, and they don't like the idea that a machine could be way smarter than them, so they discount the idea, which is fundamentally flawed. That's the wishful thinking situation. I'm really quite close to, I'm very close to the cutting edge in AI.
Well, I think the first bit of advice would be to really pay close attention to the development of artificial intelligence. I think we need to just be very careful in how we adopt artificial intelligence and to make sure that researchers don't get carried away. Because sometimes what happens is a scientist can get so engrossed in their work, they don't necessarily realize the ramifications of what they're doing. So I think it's important for public safety that we, you know, governments keep a close eye on artificial intelligence and make sure that it does not represent a danger to the public. But what to do about mass unemployment? This is going to be a massive social challenge. And I think ultimately we will have to have some kind of universal basic income. I don't think we're going to have a choice. Universal basic income. I think it's going to be necessary. There will be fewer and fewer jobs that a robot cannot do better. And I want to be clear that these are not things that I think that I wish would happen. These are simply things that I think probably will happen. And since if my assessment is correct and they probably will happen, then we need to say, what are we going to do about it? And I think some kind of a universal basic income is going to be necessary. The output of goods and services will be extremely high. So with automation, there will come abundance. There will be almost everything will get very cheap. I think we'll just end up doing universal basic income. It's going to be necessary. The harder challenge, much harder challenge, is how do people then have meaning? Like, a lot of people, they derive their meaning from their employment. So if you don't have, if you're not needed, if there's not a need for your labor, how do you, what's the meaning? Do you have meaning? Do you feel useless? That's a much harder problem to deal with. And then how do we ensure that the future is going to be the future that we want, that we still like? I do think that there's a potential path here, which is, and we're really getting into science fiction or advanced science stuff, but having some sort of merger with biological intelligence and machine intelligence. To some degree, we are already a cyborg. You think of the digital tools that you have, your phone, your computer, the applications that you have, like the fact that, as I was mentioning earlier, you can ask a question and instantly get an answer from Google or from other things. And so you already have a digital tertiary layer. I say tertiary because you can think of the limbic system, kind of the animal brain or the primal brain, and then the cortex, kind of the thinking, planning part of the brain, and then your digital self as a third layer. So you already have that, and if somebody dies, their digital ghost is still around. All of their emails and the pictures that they posted and their social media, that still lives, even if they if they died. So over time, I think we'll probably see a closer merger of biological intelligence and digital intelligence. And it's mostly about the bandwidth, the speed of the connection between your brain and your digital, the digital extension of yourself. Particularly output. And output, if anything, is getting worse. We used to have keyboards that we'd use a lot. Now we do most of our input through our thumbs on a phone. And that's just very slow. A computer can communicate at a trillion bits per second, but your thumb can maybe do, 10 bits per second or 100 if you're being generous. So some high bandwidth interface to the brain, I think, will be something that helps achieve a symbiosis between human and machine intelligence, and maybe solves the control problem and the usefulness problem.
I'm not really all that worried about the short-term stuff. Things that are... narrow AI is not a species-level risk. It will result in dislocation, in lost jobs, and sort of better weaponry and that kind of thing. But it is not a fundamental species-level risk, whereas digital superintelligence is. So it's really all about laying the groundwork to make sure that if humanity collectively decides that creating digital superintelligence is the right move, then we should do so very, very carefully. Very, very carefully. This is the most important thing that we could possibly do. And that AI risk is... that I guess it's the sort of a benign AI, and that we're able to achieve a symbiosis with that AI. Ideally, the AI... there's somebody who, I can't remember his name, but had a good suggestion for what the optimization of the AI should be, what's its utility function. You have to be careful about this, because if you say maximize happiness, and the AI concludes that happiness is a function of dopamine and serotonin, so it just captures all humans and jacks your brain with large amounts of dopamine and serotonin. okay, it's not what we meant. I like the definition of the AI should try to maximize the freedom of action.